Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Alyssa. Hi, Jessica. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you. Hi.
So let's go with Alyssa first and then Jessica. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I live in Washington, D.C., and I moved here about 8 years ago from Los Angeles, where I got to see Jessica every day. And I love it here, except for the weather. And pre-COVID, I loved to travel. It was my favorite thing to do, even with my kids and my husband, or just girls trips, or just my husband. I love to travel, mainly because it's the only time I can read a book uninterrupted. And that is something I really miss.
I understand.
Soon. And I'm Jessica, obviously an author with Liz, and I'm born and raised in LA. I still live in LA today with my family. So kind of an LA girl, even though I think deep down, I also always imagine myself being like a small town girl in the middle of New England. I feel like that's really who I am secretly.
It's not. By the way, if Jessica ever lived in a small town in New England, she would not survive. But she has this image in her head that she like wants to do chores and like ride horses and go travel through these tiny towns.
Yes, that is my vision, even though I, again, am a city slicker born and raised in LA. That is definitely my vision. Being an LA person, I'm definitely a total pop culture junkie. So like books, movies, bad reality TV, like I'm there for it. I'll talk to you about it. I want to know more. So
she will deep dive on the internet for hours.
For sure. I'll find out what's really going on. I need to know.
Oh my gosh, you guys are my kindred spirits. So I live in DC before I live in New York. So I've done DC, New York, and Chicago. So I'm like the whole big city.
Now we need to
go to LA. No, LA, because it's too far away from Puerto Rico. So my family's from Puerto Rico. So California. Travel to LA and travel to San Francisco. I would love to live there, but it's like, it's too far away. I cannot justify a 10-hour plane ride.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to get directly there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
I love this. And I love the idea of a small town, you know, New England town. Do you want the snow? Is that what you're looking for?
Yes. I want some autumn leaves. I want some snow, like a little dusting. It's so cute.
I love this. So you hinted that you live in, you live in LA and you met Jessica, but how did you guys meet?
Well, we both went to University of Southern California. So we met actually on the first day in acting class, acting 101. Ooh. And it wasn't love at first sight. Jessica walked into the class and she was wearing like platform heels and like just like short shorts, like very LA. And I grew up in Virginia Beach. Yeah. And by the way, Jessica was the only person who was wearing platforms to class. And she rode a bike in platforms very well, might I add. And I saw her and I was like, oh God, I don't think I like LA. Look at that girl. Ugh.
And then, I literally remember walking in. I was like 1 or 2 minutes late and I'm like looking around and I see this girl looking up at me with this like expression on her face, like she was in the worst mood. And I was like, note to self, that girl's like not my new best friend. She seems too like not happy to be here.
I was homesick and like, yeah, very sad. But then we both like, I don't know, probably like 3 weeks later, we had to stay after class one day to talk to the professor. And we ended up, it was that awkward thing where we left the classroom at the same time. So we're kind of walking together and sort of had to start talking. And we started talking and it was like, we never stopped. Never stopped.
Love it. Love at second sight.
Yes. And books were actually one of the first things we bonded over, because I don't know why it came up, but we started talking about the Babysitter's Club. Okay. And then we yes, exactly. Like, are you a Christie? Are you a Claudia? We were just like laughing about it. And then, yeah, it's been great ever since.
Yeah, best friends ever since. Oh, we still like talk about the books we're reading, and like, you know, we have usually have the same favorites. So it's what started us, and it's still part of it for sure.
Yeah.
I love that you were like your kindred spirits about books, and like you wrote a book together. So
what
was the process of writing the book together?
The process of writing a book together?
Yeah.
We've been writing in TV and film for how many, like 18 years or something?
Yeah. That's how we started. We started in screenwriting
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that starting to write together just in that journey was like a whole other thing, because we had started off as actors, but we were living together. We were living in this, you know, we were living a very post-college dream situation of, you know, the crappy apartment.
Squalor. We were living in squalor. There was like one thing in our fridge. We had an ant trail going down the kitchen that we were like, we didn't have Raid. We're like, can we pour vodka on the ant trail? Like, we didn't know what to do. It was just a disaster.
It was kind of a disaster. And we were not creatively fulfilled at all by the, you know, one line commercial auditions we were going out for. And we thought we should write something. We should just write. You know, we've always loved writing, and, you know, it was always something we'd come back to a lot. Let's write a TV show about like what we're living in right now.
We felt like we were freshmen in life. That's what we kept saying. We're like freshmen again, but in life, which is the worst.
In life, and like learning all the rules. And so we ended up selling that show. And that kind of was the beginning of learning our writing process together. And we definitely have refined it over the years.
Oh, it is a well-honed system.
It's very well-honed. But we also, I think what makes it work is we kind of share a brain. We already had started off as friends. We're similar. We're different in some ways, which is great. I mean, that's what you want. But it gets to a point, especially when we're in a real writing groove and we're in the middle of something. I mean, she calls me and I know exactly what she's about to say with the characters that we're writing about. And, or I'll be like, I had this weird idea. And she's like, oh my God, I was going to tell you, I had that idea of that. We should do that too. So that's how we always kind of know too, okay, we're on the right track. Because if something feels, you know, right to both of us, like in our guts, we're like, okay, let's follow that. Yeah. Let's follow that. And so we've kind of worked together long enough to know to trust that.
And then the actual process, we always outline together, like on FaceTime. We were using FaceTime even when we both lived in LA because of the traffic. Like, why do I need to get dressed? Like, I'm, you know, so we were already doing this. So it wasn't like it was this big transition when I moved. But we do the outline together on a Google Doc. And it's like, we have shorthand for our shorthand at this point, so no one else would understand the Google Doc if they looked at it. But it's a very detailed outline. We go beat by beat. Then we like microcosm it with like the beats within the chapter. We just like to get it all out there. And then when we actually do the writing, we split chapters and we write a chapter. Then we email it to the other one. The other one edits it, then we swap again, edit again, swap again until we're pretty happy with the chapter or we're so sick of it that we have to move on.
Yes.
This is so fascinating. I love like talking to author duos because they each have their own process. Like either they split around, they may just do one point of view, they might have like a whole process, but a lot of times the outline is a big part of it. Like it's just like outlining, knowing what's going to happen just to get an idea, like having both voices coming in and then coming to play.
Yes. We also know our strengths and weaknesses. So I'll be like, Jess, you have to write this one part. I know I'm not going to be able to hit it the same way you will. And then she'll do the same.
Yeah. And there's just sometimes where one of us, I'm like, no, I know exactly how I'll do it. So I'll write this one. You write that one. But we also, it's funny because a lot of people do ask like, oh, do you split up characters? And this one writes more of this character or that character. And that's the one thing we don't really do. Mm-hmm. If one of us has written a chapter that's more, you know, heavy with a specific character, we usually try to make it a point that the next one, the other person writes that first draft of, just because we feel like it allows both of us to really get to know our characters, but also really helps shape them. Like it kind of keeps opening them up more and more. So it's like a detail that Alyssa will put in that sparks something. And so now I'm writing a chapter with that person, but whatever she kind of initially thought has now got my, you know, juices going. So I think that's like a really fun part of our writing process.
There's even a part of it where we'll be writing different chapters, but we'll both write, not having discussed it, the same like characteristic, the same little habit that one of the characters has or their favorite place to go. And that's when it really gets, you know, ESP creepy.
You know each other so well. You have like the same line. I love this. So let's chat about you love Babysitter's Club. So YA was really early on, you know, in your DNA. Were you a YA reader before you started writing YA, or what came first, you know, and why YA?
We've always been YA readers, starting with the Babysitter's Club.
I would say Sweet Valley Twins.
And Sweet Valley Twins. Yep. So that's what got us hooked. And even some of the other YA we read was more, when we were younger, was like more of that kind of thriller genre, like the Christopher Pike and Lois Duncan. And so anyway, we were very well versed in our YA when we were young adults ourselves. And then I think it's the kind of genre that we still, you know, we always continued to pick up, especially, you know, if you hear there's like a great YA book out there, you know, both of us always are dying to read it. But then in terms of like writing YA, I think, yes, we're big fans of the genre. So that's number one. But I think number two is that it's just such an interesting time in someone's life. Where kind of the emotions and the stakes just feel so naturally high.
You don't know how to fake it yet. Like you haven't learned all of your strategies for avoiding things, and you just kind of have to face everything in a very raw, authentic way.
Exactly. And so, yeah, it's different than writing like, you know, a jaded 50-year-old character who's like seen it all. It's like, there's a freshness that's really fun to live in, and it's really fun to write. And I think like even that kind of never goes away when you like look back at that time period in your life, it still feels very relevant and fresh, you know? And so I think it's really liberating to write characters that are so willing to feel and kind of put themselves out there. And that's really like one of the hallmarks of YA and why we really love it.
And also they're experiencing things for the first time. Lot of like when you're writing, that's very fun to write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love YA. It's just like it's so heightened in the emotions. It's like first time, first love, first kiss, first fake dating, first experience, first like knowing your parents are not going to be the ideal person you look up for, you know?
Yes.
So it just a lot of firsts that are heightened, you know? Super and then there's always so the fun questions like, what am I going to do with my life? You know, when I'm old.
Yeah, it's definitely a time period where like these decisions you make completely impact the rest of your life, or, you know, I mean, it really feels like they do, but I think they do. And so that also is
brilliant. And they're also, it's so relevant to adults too. Like when I read YA, I'm like, oh, that's how I feel still. Like it's, you know, it's really, you can relate to it no matter what, because you still have that part inside you.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. So I've been asking this question to the authors just because we're kind of like podcasting tend to be like eavesdropping on a conversation among friends and trying to figure out. And so what sparks joy for you? What gets you in the flow? Whether it's a hobby, whether it's writing, reading, or something else that you do that doesn't feel like work, that just that you take a break and you can actually allow you to imagine things. It can be baking, gardening, whatever it is. It can be anything in the world. But what sparks joy for you?
For me, I've been volunteering for this organization called CASA and for like 5 years. And that has been like sparks beyond joy. That makes me so happy. I've gotten even more involved with it during COVID, you know, because you're doing court, it's your court appointed special advocate for foster children who are abused or neglected. And so you're having all the hearings and they're on Zoom now. And it's just, you have to be even more present as much as you can in these kids' lives. And it sounds like it would be very sad and not spark joy, but these kids are so much better off having a CASA that it really, it's just my passion. I love it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing.
Sure.
And then, yeah, I mean, for me, definitely, like, and I know for Liz too, like, reading is first and foremost, like, first love. And when I need or want to feel inspired, picking up a book is always one of, like, the go-to choices. I it was funny when you asked this question, I started thinking about it. I'm like, what does spark joy? I mean, for me, a big part of it, I come from a big family and I, you know, I live in the place where I grew up. So I love entertaining and having big kind of get-togethers at my house, but also just like losing myself in the fun of it, of like the playlist and what we're eating and the best recipes and what I'm baking for it. And, you know, who the mix is that's coming. And so, it's something I haven't been able to do a lot of in the last year, but now we're going to get to start, you know, hopefully getting back to that.
She throws a great party. I mean, everything is thought of. It's amazing. It's amazing.
So yeah, that's like another little creative outlet for me. I definitely am a full-on Pinterest nerd when it comes to that kind of thing. I'm like, I set aside a few hours to do some recon and yeah, I'm off to the races.
Yeah. Pinterest nerd. We are very basic. We love Pinterest.
Yes, totally. It never looks like Pinterest. I can admit that, but it's still really fun. My party's
never. Especially if it's like a craft. We are not crafty.
We want to be crafty and we're not.
Okay, I love this. So what has been the process of writing during pandemic? Has it been easier, harder, more productive, less productive, more distraction?
I think, distraction? Yeah. The good news for us was that we already work from home. So while everybody else was like really trying to adjust to this new normal, we were still writing the way we always write, but now we just have a lot more interruptions with our children. So it has not been as productive. I would definitely say it has not been productive. Yeah,
I would say especially the first 6 months, you know, it's hard to write in 15 or 30 minute bursts and, you know, then an interruption, creativity. Usually you need those like hours of time. So I think that was hard. And I think everyone just felt a little bit sapped. And so it's like hard to, you know, kind of pull, but now I feel like, okay, we're coming back. Ideas are generating again. And I think we both pull a lot from like just being out and about and talking to people and overhearing conversations, and that's like a big part of getting inspired.
That's so, very that true. Yeah.
Yeah. Able to do that more. That's really helpful.
I know. Eavesdropping is a great way to like
get it's great. I'll text Jessica. Yeah. I'll be at like at Starbucks in line and texting Jessica a conversation. So like, and being like, I don't want to forget this. Just be texting her an entire conversation, especially when you're writing YA and you can eavesdrop on actual young adults. And just listen to some of it. And, you know, it's gold.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. I think as we go back to a new reality, it'll be so nice to just like have people interactions and hear about what's going on, you know?
If we still know how. I feel like such a hermit.
I know. So let's talk about Fading to the Bright. So what's the elevator pitch and what was the research like?
Okay, so elevator pitch for Fading to the Bright. It's a YA contemporary that revolves around two sisters, one summer, and a diagnosis that changes everything. And all of that is intertwined with a coming of age love story set on the island of Catalina, which we're obsessed with. And just to give like a little more background on the story, because that kind of informs why and how we did this research. So the story really revolves around Abby. She's about to be a freshman and she just in college, and she discovers that she and her sister are at risk for Huntington's disease, which is a fatal neurodegenerative disease. And so they decide to undergo genetic testing to see if they have that gene or not. But when one tests positive, and one does not, their lives splinter. And so Abby escapes to the island of Catalina, a place with no Wi-Fi and where no one knows her story. But as she begins to find love and friendship and hope where she least expected it, her family secrets start unraveling around her, and she kind of has to face these questions that she's been avoiding all summer. The biggest one being, does knowing how she's probably eventually going to die change the way that she's now supposed to live? That was really the question guiding us forward as we were writing too.
And we did more research with this book than anything we've written, film, TV, anything. It started with Jess's cousin is married to someone who has Huntington's disease in her family. So we actually watched her go through the exact process Abby goes through, which is the deciding whether or not you want to know if you have the gene. Then you have to do pre-testing counseling for 6 months before you can even get your results, and then ultimately getting your results. And so we watched that as that happened. And then she also introduced us to other families with Huntington's with the gene. And we spoke to them about their experiences so we could get kind of multiple perspectives. We also read a lot of science-based books and then a lot of books that were personal accounts of either caregivers or people who are gene positive. And we, there are these, on HD, was it on HDSA that the blogs were? Yeah, Huntington's Disease Society of America, HDSA, was an amazing resource. And there are these forums that were just, they were so hard to read, but I'm so glad we did because that helped us tap into the emotion of it. But it was just people kind of venting about the everyday issues that you have to deal with. And that was, that informed the book a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think it's an inspiring book just to see the whole process of her coming of age and then having this, you know,
layer
extra layer out of the blue kind of dropped on you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, another piece of the puzzle with our research was we decided to set it on this island of Catalina, which is off the coast of California, which we'd both been to many years prior. And so we decided to take a little writer's retreat there during our drafting process, which was amazing, and also really helped kind of inform. I mean, I feel like Catalina became another character in the story because of that trip. And we talked to so many great people there who helped give us more information too about the island that we could fold into Abby's story, which was great.
And a lot of them inspired characters too, yeah, which was great. Our zip line instructors in the book.
Where are zip line in
the yes.
I love this. And so what are you working next?
So yes, we were working on a sequel to our last novel, The Lost Causes, which was a YA thriller, when we sold this book. And you know, we were on a kind of tight deadline for this one. And so we kind of dropped everything to write it. A, you know, because we were just so excited about the story. We just kind of felt like, oh my God, this is, you know, a story we've been really wanting to tell for a long time. But now we can, you know, perhaps return it to that Lost Causes world, which we're excited about. We also—
And we keep getting emails about from really angry fans because we left it on a cliffhanger.
Like, when is the sequel coming?
Yeah, we have a little guilt about that.
Yes, we have a lot of guilt. So now we can get back to that. We've been brainstorming in brainstorming mode on another idea we've had for a while too, which is a really fun place to be, kind of that mode right before we get into outlining. So those are the two things that we have on tap right now.
Gosh, I love this. So let's talk about book recommendations. So Jessica, your reader, Alyssa, do you have any recommendations to tell our listeners that they should pick up next?
I just finished this book called These Women, which I loved. And then we both read Ask Again, Yes, which was great.
Yeah.
And Untamed, Glennon Doyle's nonfiction book, was really my, like, the greatest thing for me. It's like I got the audiobook and I'll listen to it. I've listened to it so many times through. It's amazing.
And then probably one of the best books that I've read in the last, you know, few months or a year is The Nightingale. So everybody, you know, for years, people are telling me you have to read this book. And You know how you have those books on your TBR and you just like, you don't pick it up though every time. And so finally I decided I'm going to read it. Obviously I loved it. And now I'm that person who's telling everybody, you have to read Nightingale. Liz, why haven't you read it yet?
Oh, I haven't. I need to read it.
10 people now, to read it.
She's the person who's yelling at me now. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
I will read it. I will read it.
Yeah.
It's a great book, but you have to be in the right mind space because you're in war. Yeah. Like you're in a war. They're a war. You know?
Exactly. And yeah. So at first, because I read it during the pandemic, and at first I felt like, right, I'm not in this mindset. I feel like things are already pretty dark and heavy right now. I don't know that I want to be in that place. But then when I did pick it up, still in the midst of the pandemic, it ultimately was kind of hopeful to me. I'm like, wow, you know, these people went through so much, like we can get through this. So ultimately to me, it was kind of a hopeful story, weirdly.
Yes. Yes. It is. It ends up hopeful. It's a tearjerker, but there's some hope. Yeah. There's like some, yeah. You know, they got through the war and they were able to build a life and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's see. Tell us where you can find you online.
Our Instagram is at It's Jess and Liz, and that's where we, I think, hang out most online, to be honest. We also have a website, which is jessicaandalyssa.com. And those are the two spots to best find us, I would say.
Yes. We're lurking.
I love this. Thank you, Alyssa, and thank you, Jessica, for being on the show.
Oh, thanks, we'd so love much to be for here. Thank you so much. This is so fun. This is so fun. There's nothing I might put in my hobbies now, like for nerding out. I could just do book podcasts all day.
100%.
It's so fun talking to someone else who loves books.
Yeah.
That's great.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.